Amen. Hallelujah. This morning we are looking at the sprinkling of the blood. We are going to be I believe that we have come to the atonement, into the place, into a special place, a special dealing, and a special season in God. God is a God of season. He's a God of time, an appointment, and a time, a God of measure. And in His wisdom and His power, He has brought us to this time of midnight. Midnight is a time, it's a period of time. And that is a season that has come upon the earth. It's a time of darkness, a time of war, rumors of war, earthquakes, perilous times. It's a time when the saints have been wearied and are being wearied. A time of many afflictions. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord will bring deliverance, and He's bringing deliverance. Amen. It's a time of healing also. But most importantly, it's a time of resurrection. And resurrection is for one purpose, for marriage. Hallelujah. Yesterday night, I believe that in the spirit there was a mark made. There was a benchmark. There was a measurement given to us. And I believe we should run along that line. Amen. Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that has been laid. So the Lord has laid a foundation, and by the grace of God, we are going to run and try to build on that. Amen. There was a standing out yesterday. Something that stood up. Many things may have stood up. But one major thing, the center of that message, is about a certain woman. A certain woman. And as was explained, when you hear a word, we should be spiritual enough to know that in the things of God, that when there's a word spoken, you must hear it two times, in two dimensions. You must hear it in the natural, and you must hear it in the spirit. Amen. So he spoke of a certain woman. You may know the story in the natural. It was something that happened, it was a natural story. It was an actual experience. But it also speaks in the spirit of a woman. In other words, the all-prevailing speaking is about marriage. Because the purpose of the man and the wife is to come together. That song we sang says, and living his spirit until your work on earth is done. The work on earth is to choose a bride, isn't it? The spirit, Eliezer, was sent to choose a bride. And the purpose of healing, the purpose of blessing, whatever is being done and that will be done, is for one purpose. It speaks to one purpose. And it must speak to the marriage of the bride and the bridegroom. Amen. So the healing of the certain woman is not for healing for healing's sake. It is part of a process to prepare the woman for marriage. Amen. For the woman, it meets her need. But for the bridegroom has an expectation. And brethren, there is an expectation of us. The Bible says that in James chapter 4, it says that the husbandman has an expectation. And it says he has had a long patience. Hallelujah. He's looking for the precious fruit of the earth. Hallelujah. So we are in a time of atonement. We're in a time of healing. We're in a time of redemption, recovery, and so many speakings. And I believe that today, this morning, there is going to be much work of the blood. And that work of the blood has started. And I believe it's working. The purpose of the blood is to do something. The blood has a place in which it works. There are different types of blood. There is natural blood. There is also spiritual blood. And in the natural, you have the blood of goats, you have the blood of bulls, you have the different types of blood. And they are all powerful. According to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, they purify the flesh. They bring purging. But there is another type of blood. The spiritual blood. Amen. It was a blood shed from, even the Bible says, from the foundation, before the foundation. That cannot be natural blood. That is spiritual blood. Amen. And it is the blood of none other, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. In speaking about the blood, there is only one place to go to, and it is going inward. We are making a journey. We are diving inward. Hallelujah. We are going beyond the natural woman, because the brother said last night, the certain woman can be you, and the certain woman can be me. And I'm expectant that this morning there's going to be a walk in that certain woman. Amen. And that certain woman is me. Amen. There's going to be a walk. Because he has left his spirit to do a walk. And that walk has not been accomplished. We're going to look at a few major scriptures that will move us along the line and, you know, express the burden that is in the heart. So the first scripture we'll be looking at is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews 10. It says, let us draw near. Last night we saw a woman that drew near. Amen. Did she draw near? Hallelujah. She said, let me draw near. Hallelujah. The Bible says, draw near to God. What will he do? He will draw near to you. Hallelujah. So the first step is to draw near. So take a step. You know, when you leave your house, and you come to this kind of environment, it's a purpose. There is something. It's to draw near. Amen. Even if you are here to meet your friends or whatever it is, it will be good to understand that there's a purpose. There is something that should be overriding, and that is that you are drawing near to God. You are making a response. Amen. The banner of the conference says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, come." And he says, "The glory of the latter house shall be greater." We are seeking a glory. We are seeking a later glory, a visitation. So say, let us draw near with what? With a true heart. Hallelujah. The woman was a natural woman, but this morning we are speaking of the spiritual woman. And the spiritual woman can only draw near with what? With the heart. Hallelujah. So the center of what we'll be looking at, we'll be talking about the heart. We'll be talking about the heart. And by the grace of God, we will go into the heart. Amen. We'll try and touch the foundation of the heart. Because the Bible says, if you know the scripture, in Leviticus 23, it says, on the day of atonement, the day of atonement was part of the feast of the seventh month. The seventh month was the last month in the spiritual life of Israel. In other words, in the spiritual life of the people of God, and in the spiritual life of this earth, we have come to the seventh month, the closing down. Hallelujah. And in that seventh month, there are three feasts. The first one is the feast of blowing trumpets. That trumpet is the trumpet calling people to move forward from Pentecost. Hallelujah. Pentecost was the fourth feast. And there is a tendency to, you know, want to remain in that place of miracles, prosperity, signs and wonders, praise and worship, you know, great exploits. Hallelujah. And, you know, there's been an explosion of that all over the world. That outpouring began in Azusa Street more than a century now, is it not? In 1905, 1906. Now we have passed 2005, 2006. So we have gone a couple of years ahead. There has been a great outpouring. Out of Azusa Street, all the Pentecostal churches you know today came. Four Square, Assemblies of God, and all of them. They came all out of apostolic faith. They all came out of our Azusa Street experience. Amen. And the church has stayed on. Some of us came into this experience in the tail end of the Pentecostal experience. Amen. When God is winding it down. Hallelujah. And what is coming upon the church, and what has come upon the church, is the hand of God to move the church beyond the Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. Pentecost is good. It was of God. But there is the reality is beyond Pentecost. Hallelujah. Because the husbandman is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Hallelujah. We may want like our church life, church experience, you know, religion, going to fellowship, enjoying fellowship, but there is a purpose. Hallelujah. You know, so God begins a trumpet. Well, to complete that story, before Azusa Street, somewhere in the 17th century, is it not? 1776, if my history is correct. Another man called Martin Luther, he went and did something. He said, "The just shall live by faith." So that was another movement of God to pull the people of God out of the stagnation. They call it the dark ages. Things were so dark. And it was like nothing was going on. And a fresh wind began to blow and move the people of God out of that darkness. And they came into the experience of, the Passover. The Passover is the place of being born again. And it was a story all over the world. Amen. Before that time, we know there was, when the church was born, there was much revival, and then it went down. But where are we today? We have come to the point where God has moved and is forcing the church beyond Pentecost. Hallelujah. So, there has been a trumpet blowing. Many of us began to hear it. A trumpet saying, there is an experience beyond Pentecost. Hallelujah. It's not just to be born again or to be filled with the Spirit, speaking tongues, gifts of the Spirit, and so on. But there is a place where there has to be a change of the nature of the soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the soul is the bride of Christ. And before that bride can be joined unto Christ, that bride has to be made clean. Hallelujah. That bride has to be cleansed, prepared. Amen. So, where we are now is that we are in a time called midnight. It's a time of trouble. And more trouble, 2018 was too much trouble. But we are entering into another time of trouble called 2019. Hallelujah. The grace that brought us thus far will take us through. Amen. Hallelujah. Like Habakkuk said, we shall not die. Hallelujah. But we as spiritual people, we must, Jesus told them, say, you people, you can understand the signs of the weather, isn't it? But you don't understand the spiritual signs. Hallelujah. There's a spiritual speaking, and the speaking is about a marriage. Hallelujah. Beyond everything that's happening in this world, there's a speaking about what? Marriage. Exactly 70 years from 1948 to the year 2018. The capital of Israel was restored to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. The plan of God has not suffered loss. Hallelujah. God can use an ass. He can use anything he wants. But truly and surely, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. The church is marching on. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God is being released for a purpose. And we are gathered here today in that spirit. Hallelujah. Because we understand that Jeremiah says 70 weeks are determined upon the land. The land will keep her Sabbath. Hallelujah. And the people went into captivity. And 17 years came and passed. And then God began to stir up the heart of some individuals. Hallelujah. God prepared Cyrus. And then God began to stir up the heart of Ezra and Nehemiah. And there was a decree. So go back and build the house of God. Hallelujah. And you know what? God made the provision. That house was built with government money. Hallelujah. Can you beat that? It was the whole process of leaving Jerusalem, or leaving Babylon, sorry, going back, the transport money, the building materials, the security, everything was provided for and paid for from the king's treasury. Hallelujah. Truly and surely, the purpose of God moves on. Hallelujah. And we are blessed to be part of that purpose. So what is the purpose of God? Marriage. Hallelujah. The marriage of the Son with the bride. Who is the bride? The certain woman. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is the bride? The certain woman. Who is the certain woman? That certain woman is in this hall today. You know, the woman had to prince. There was something about her. Hallelujah. She proposed it. I said, and she came and prayed. There was so much obstacle. The Bible says she pushed through. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's going to be many pressures. What to eat, what to drink, the school, work, have children, do this. Many pressures that are going to still, increase. Security problem, light problem, road problem. Nigeria is not working well. It is, the country will decay. It may rise. God may heal it. Elections, whatever. Amen. But the certain woman. What would the certain woman do? Hallelujah. The certain woman must push through the failure of Nigeria and press on. Hallelujah. And be joined. When she touched, the third touch is marriage, joining. Hallelujah. Amen. The healing, the anointing is on the head. Hallelujah. So the woman knew that, look, if I only touch, that anointing will come down to me. Amen. So the question is, will I be healed? No. And we were told yesterday, we shall surely be healed in this conference. Hallelujah. Do you expect to be healed? We must push through. Hallelujah. So we're reading Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Let me just make a few sentences about faith. Faith speaks about the life of the inward man. Amen. Example, Moses was a prince of Egypt. By natural calculations, he was going to be Pharaoh, isn't it? He was going to be king. But the Bible says by faith, he gave it up. That was stupid. Foolish. It doesn't make sense. Hallelujah. So faith goes contrary to the natural reasoning and thinking. Faith has nothing to do with the natural. Another example. Say, if thou have faith, thou shalt say to the mountain, what happened? Be thou removed. And what? Cast so and so. Is that possible naturally? Yeah, I want to hear from you. Is that possible naturally? Amen. There is only one place in which it is possible. It's what? In the spirit. Hallelujah. Faith speaks to the spirit. Hallelujah. Well, there is a natural faith. I'm looking at this chair. It has four legs. So from my calculation, it will carry me if I sit down. Amen. So it's called physical faith. Amen. I have 10 million naira. If there is trouble in Port Harcourt, 10 million naira will take care of me. Hallelujah. Amen. That is physical faith. My bank account. My so and so and so and so and so. Amen. That's physical. You're just walking on physical. Amen. But you have not understood that Diamond Bank can collapse before you get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your bank can collapse. So you can't see that. Now, the only way to see that is if you need to go deeper. Hallelujah. To another realm, another dimension. And what is that dimension? Is the dimension of the soul, the inward man. Hallelujah. So it says faith is the evidence. There's an evidence of things that the natural man has not seen, but which the spiritual man has seen. Amen. That's what I call the evidence. Then you say it is what? The substance that you cannot see naturally, but which the spiritual man has seen, and is beginning to speak for him. So it is a reality. It is a substance. Hallelujah. Which the physical cannot speak to, but which the inward man can relate to. Hallelujah. And Paul said, to the Greeks is foolishness. Amen. To the Jews, it doesn't make sense. They are looking for signs. The other one are looking for wisdom. Amen. So, the reality of this woman is a reality of the Spirit. So, let's read on. He said, having our heart sprinkled from from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with water. Hallelujah. So I've tried to explain what faith is, what the heart is, what this woman is, to zero it in more, to just bring it, break it down more. Now, when we speak about the heart, what are we talking about? What is the heart speaking of? Hallelujah. Now, by the end of the message, it will be very clear. But let me just say that man has three parts. The physical body that you can see. And if they open you up, the only thing they can see is body. Can't see anything else. Hallelujah. But we know that there is an inward man. And I dare say that that inward man is being opened up for us to see and then to apply to ourselves. Now, there is an inward man which speaks of the soul and the spirit of man. The soul of man and the spirit of man. They go together. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 1 says, he gave him a revelation. He saw a wheel. And he saw another wheel inside the wheel. So there was a bigger wheel and a smaller wheel. Hallelujah. And then there was a spirit. And the wheel was being controlled by the spirit. So wherever the spirit will go, there the wheel, the living creatures will go. So Ezekiel was the first person that had a deep revelation of the natures of the soul. And he said he saw four living creatures. Isaiah also saw those living creatures. Another person who notably also saw them was Peter. He saw these creatures of a different type. And then finally, John. So it was an apostolic revelation that came. God opened it up and showed them these four creatures, the four natures, the dimensions of man. Amen. And how these creatures, this soul, works with the spirit, and then also walks with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You know, so to summarize it, you have the soul, and then you have the spirit in man. The Bible says there is a spirit in man. And then it says the inspiration of God gives it understanding. Amen. So there is a spirit of God that is ministering to this, to my spirit that's in me, and my spirit is in the midst of my soul. Amen. Hallelujah. So there is nothing else that we are told about the soul. So we are not going to go outside, because the Bible says the things that are revealed are unto us are enough for us. Amen. Say amen, huh? Amen. I'm not going to read the book of Jasha. I'm not going to read the book of... I'm looking for Apocrypha, Book of Wisdom. I don't need any revelation. I'm okay. It's enough for me. The man of Calvary is enough for me. Amen. So based on what is revealed to us, we understand by the books that man is not just body. In fact, the Bible says that the body is like a carcass. So there is a reality. And that reality is my inward man, my soul. Amen. And that my soul has a spirit. The Bible says that when the man dies, the spirit goes back to God. The spirit came to take the soul to God for marriage. Amen. Just like Eliezer came to take Rebecca, is it not, for marriage. If my soul says, I'm not going to be married to Christ, the spirit goes back empty-handed. Hallelujah. Say, the man did not come. He refused to come. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Why are you withdrawn? Amen. The message had not even started. We are still trying to lay down the groundwork. Hallelujah. So, the Spirit was given to present the soul for marriage. Hallelujah. So, there's a Spirit in man walking with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, the Spirit of God walks with your spirit to minister to the realms of your soul. Hallelujah. And that operation of God is put in your body. Hallelujah. No devil in hell can tell your soul to depart your body without the permission of God. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Amen. Whether accident or bullet or whatever it is, if it is not time, it is not time. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll be with you all this while preaching in the temple. You didn't do anything. But now is your time. Hallelujah. So, we have a purpose on earth. You have a purpose on earth. Hallelujah. And that purpose is the child training of your soul. I use the word child training. Your soul must be matured. Must come to that experience of maturity. It says the ointment was on the bed. Hallelujah. You know, my soul must come to a maturity, must be a son. Hallelujah. And when my soul becomes a son, then it's ready to be anointed. Hallelujah. To be part of the body of the Christ on the earth. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah. That's our calling. We must come to maturity. So when you come into the world, you have come to be trained. Your soul comes as simple, blind, not aware of God, not knowing. So in fact, we are alien to the commonwealth of Israel. Hallelujah. But by the blood, you are brought near and trained and brought into revelation, brought into understanding through many walks, experiences. Amen. So we're talking about the heart. So the heart is the coming together of the soul, of your spirit, and the Spirit of God. They form something called the heart. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. It's a deep place, but we are going there. Hallelujah. Because God is opening it up. Because he wants to do a work. That soul is the certain woman. Hallelujah. That has an issue of blood. She has no life. Hallelujah. Let's see that scripture. Brassan read yesterday. I think it's Mark 15. Is it not? Mark 5:25. Let's see it. Let's look at it. And then we'll just push it on from there. Okay, I don't think we should bother with it. We'll come back to it because of time. But the point was that the woman has an issue of blood. That was her problem. She was losing blood. And therefore, she didn't have life. She was weak and she was sickly. We'll come back to it. Let's look at other more relevant scriptures for us now. Let's go to Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 15. Matthew 15:17-20. Matthew 15:17-20. This is a story, a scripture that we all know. Amen. It's a scripture that I cannot argue with. The scripture the devil wished never was made manifest. Hallelujah. Because the scripture that nails it. Hallelujah. He nails it. Hallelujah. There's one before this one in Matthew 13. It says, a young man came to Jesus and said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say to him? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That this is the first and greatest commandment. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said the second is like to the first. Thou shalt love your neighbor from your heart as you love yourself. Amen. So the weighty matters of the scripture deal with the heart. Hallelujah. Say amen now. You're not responding very well. Hallelujah. The weighty matters of the scripture deal with the heart. They are matters of the heart. They are not matters of prosperity. They are not matters of blessing. They are not matters of provision. Hallelujah. They are matters of the heart. Hallelujah. And today we are touching the matters of the heart. Hallelujah. Say, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Hallelujah. Not half, not 99, but all. Hallelujah. But there's a problem with the heart. Hallelujah. Oh, it has gone away. Matthew 15:17-20. All right, let me read it. He said, do not ye understand? Do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast into the drought? And is cast into the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile the certain woman. Amen. But to eat with unwashing hands defile not a man. Hallelujah. Amen. So my problem is the problem of my heart. Hallelujah. It's a problem of the heart. And we saw from Hebrews chapter 10 that when we draw near to God, we should draw near with our hearts. We should draw near with our hearts. Hallelujah. But how can I draw near to God with a heart that's filled with all this? Amen. How can I draw near when there is a problem in the heart? When my heart has issues. Let's read another scripture to confirm. Let's read another one to confirm. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah and Ezekiel are very strong on the heart, so spend some time in both places. They will open it up very well. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. What does this say? Say the heart, that's a very good way to read it. But, you know, we are in a faith clinic. We are trying to apply it to us. So, can I say my heart? And can you say my heart? So, let's read it together. Say, my heart is deceitful above all things. And what? Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not prosperity. This is not physical miracle. But we are told that there was this woman that had an issue. She had an issue of blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And by the prophetic word, we're saying that woman is speaking about the soul. Is speaking about you. Amen. And you know, the word is saying that this heart, this soul, has an issue. This soul and this heart needs ministry. Amen. Alright, let's open it out a little bit. Let's just open it out a bit and see if that can help us. Are we there? Is that not working? Please, let's. Can you put the interlinear? I would like to have interlinear on Jeremiah 17:9, so we all can see. Amen. It hasn't come yet. All right. So Jeremiah 17:9 says, there are two words there. It says the heart is deceitful. That's one word. The other one is what? Wicked. Can we have the interlinear on those words? Now, from my notes, to save time, now the word deceitful means to be slippery. Amen. To be slippery, to be crooked. Hallelujah. To be deceitful. A deceit means somebody tells you, let us go here. But he does not mean it in his heart. He actually means you should go to the other place. Hallelujah. A deceitful nature. And he says that my heart is what? Deceitful. Hallelujah. Let's look at the other word. Wicked. This one is very interesting. The word wicked, the word translated wicked, means to be weak, to be feeble. And can you beat it? To be very sick. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Say the heart, when you say the heart is wicked, it means that the heart is very sick. In fact, the Italian says it means to be sick with an incurable disease. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then there's the last one. What does it say? To be in a woeful condition. So what was it that they were telling us last night? There was a woman that was very sick. Hallelujah. She was very sick, and she went from doctor to doctor, from camp meeting to camp meeting, from prayer meeting to prayer meeting, from one anointing to the other. What happened? Her condition became worse. Amen. Amen. But there is hope for me. I don't know about you. There is hope for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You are in fellowship, nice fellowship. 2 hours from then, you are in hell. Can anybody relate to that? Amen. You just had a great time with the Lord in the morning. You step out, and in 2 hours' time, in fact, Peter said, I never knew that man. Who is he? That he denied the Lord. Hallelujah. And many of us have been in that place where the natures of our soul have been like this sick woman. Amen. Very sick with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Say the heart is deceitful. Very wicked. Hallelujah. It has a deep problem. Hallelujah. The problems of my heart are deep. You know, I can come to the place where I can coat it over with confession. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the Son of God. I am this. I am this. Hallelujah. So men, the guilt of their sin makes them, they do alms, they build church, they serve God, they do all kinds of things. Hallelujah. As a way to address a sickness. Amen. And some people, they say, well, there is no hope for me. I'm a dry tree. Amen. If I cannot overcome, then I might as well just do anything I please. Some people have come to the point of going back, of turning back. Hallelujah. But the Bible says we are not of them that do what? That go back. May none of us come to that point where we go back means we have sealed it. I cannot overcome this besetting sin. Amen. I cannot overcome this challenge. I cannot overcome this. I cannot overcome this. Because you have looked in and you have seen the sickness. But there is hope. Hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. That's what happened last night. The woman was different. She says, I know the solution. If I can only touch. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you be like that woman? That is, you will make a lifetime commitment. It's not, it cannot be a one-time thing. Amen. You make a lifetime commitment. Not just to touch, but to be joined. Hallelujah. To the head. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know if it is clear. But the prophetic word, the word about atonement is very clear where the problem is. You know, there were two men that came to the temple. They are dealing with the same issue. One of them came and said, oh Lord, I fast twice a day, twice a week. I fast this. I do so. I did 10-day fasting the right week. Now I'm doing 21-day fast. I am among those who do so and so. The other one do so and so and so. I do so and so and so. Amen. We can choose to be like that religious man. Hallelujah. Self-denial. Self-denial. Are we in that place? I'm not facing the reality. My brother made me to sin. My wife made me to sin. Hallelujah. Adam, where is your wife? My wife made me to. The devil made me to. Hallelujah. But there was another man. The Bible said that he came before God. And he smote his heart in repentance. And he said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Hallelujah. There's a call for repentance in this conference. There's a call for repentance. There is a call to own up. Hallelujah. There's a call to draw near to God with our hearts. You know, another place is saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is very far. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Which one do we fall into? Which category do you fall into? Which category do I fall into? Amen. Let me go and see their fellowship. Let me go and see what they are saying. Hallelujah. Well, that is the behavior of a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Hallelujah. The man that wants healing will be going to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Amen. That is to come with the heart. To approach with the heart. I say, Lord, the problem is me. Amen. There was a man like that. His name is David. What did he say? Psalm 139. What did he say? He said, search me, O God. And do what? Know my heart. Today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Now, the next scripture is Ezekiel. Ezekiel 14. It's just another way of saying the things that have been coming the last few minutes. Ezekiel 14. May the Lord have mercy upon us. Hallelujah. He said, then came Satan. You see that same Satan again? And what did the brother say? Now, whenever you see Satan, it's an open door. Is that what he said? People should answer me now. What's the problem? Say amen. Amen. We are still brethren. Hallelujah. The brother said, when you see Satan, it's an open door. Put your name inside. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you, brother. It's a setting of the elders of Israel came unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, these men have set up what? Their what? Idols. Where? Okay, let me stop there. Hallelujah. Where do you find idols? The idols are in the National Museum in Port Harcourt. Is there anyone in Port Harcourt? The idols are in the National Museum in River State Secretariat. There's a museum there in River State on the ground floor. If you go there, you will see many, many idols. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, these men have set up their idols where? In their heart. Hallelujah. So you can see the problem that I have. Idols in my heart. Am I born again? These elders of Israel were not elders of Philistines. They were not elders of Moabites. They were not Edomites. They were elders of Israel. Hallelujah. When I'm born again, the day I got born again, all the idols finished in my heart. Amen. That is one of the attempts of self-denial. Of what I call a heart denial. Amen. So people preach, the day I was born again, all the idols vamoosed. Amen. There can never be a greater lie. Are you hearing a big amen? Amen? There can never be a greater lie. Hallelujah. So now they set up the idols in their heart. Amen. May the Lord deliver us from self-denial. May the Lord deliver me from self-denial. Hallelujah. The Bible says the man that comes to the mirror, what do you see in the mirror? You see yourself. Now you can come to the mirror and you don't like what you have seen. Say, no, it's not my portion. You know, when we're talking about idols, there's something like it's not my portion. That's the language of Pentecost. That's why God says, go beyond Pentecost. Hallelujah. Because when God begins to open our eyes, we will see idols where? Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that the heart is sick. And the problem of my heart is idol. And that is why there is no strength. My heart is weak. The content of the dunamis of God in my soul is very, very, very low compared with the pressure of darkness and sin also working in my heart. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says we are taken captive at will. Amen. The darkness and the light are working together in the heart. Don't you understand? Darkness was there, and then the light came inside as a stranger. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go on. Say, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart. And do what? Put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of all, inquired of at all by them? Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of its iniquity before his face, and comment to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comment according to the multitude of his idols. Amen. So it's not even saying there's only one. There are multitude of idols. Now, when you look at the history of the Old Testament, there were different types of idols. There were idols that were carved. Hallelujah. In our modern time, it means there are things we set up in our hearts. We cultivate it. Maybe since you were a child, there is something you have been cultivating. Amen. You want to be this. You want to have this. You want to go here. Whatever, there's an interest, something that has grown. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a carved idol. You have carved it. That's an image. You made it. Amen. Hallelujah. There are some of them, the Bible said, that called it a stone image. That stone. That made of stone. Cast. That means it cannot be easily thrown down. Amen. It requires force. It requires determined, continuous action to break it down. There are idols of wood. There are some idols that are transferred from generation to generation. Amen. So there are different types of idols. Now, the Bible also talks about the images, pictures, all right, of different sorts that you find also inside the heart. Amen. Let me read just one scripture. Then we will begin to come. We'll come over and start talking about solution. Just one scripture to settle, in case there's somebody who has a doubt. Someone who believes once saved, forever saved. Someone who believes that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There is no sin in me, and those kind of things. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Bible says, by the word of two or three witnesses. So, we have looked at Matthew, we have looked at Jeremiah, we looked at Ezekiel. Now we are going to Paul. So that should settle the question. 2 Corinthians 3. We are trying to lay the foundation. Because our faith must be on the foundation of the word of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Sorry, chapter 10. 2 10. We're looking at the condition of the certain woman, and we have seen that there is a sickness, and the source of this sickness is the idols in the heart. There's one more thing to talk about it, but we'll come there later. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So he's saying an idol is a stronghold. It's a stronghold of darkness. In other words, the heart is a prisoner. Hallelujah. Say amen, huh? Amen. The heart is in prison. Amen. You can be sitting down in your chair. You are free as air. You can go anywhere you want. But the inward man is in captivity. Amen. The inward man can also come to a place of liberty. Hallelujah. Amen. So here he's saying it's a stronghold. And a stronghold cannot be overthrown by 5 minute prayer, 2 hour prayer. It requires spiritual, it requires the weapons of God, which are mighty through God. What are they? It says, casting down imagination, images. Amen. I was listening to a brother. He said, look, I'm careful the things I allow to come into my mind. You know, today, we live in a world of images. And it's exploding every day. Because see, that's what you find in the fifth dimension of time. In Genesis, it says, on the fifth day, there have been many birds and fishes. Those two things, prophetically speaking, about ideas, organizations, movements, doctrines, theories, principles, is going to explode. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Daniel says, in the end of time, knowledge shall increase. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There is a knowledge overhaul. And if you make your mind a deposit of every WhatsApp photograph, you want to see. You want to see. You want to know. You want to see. I hope you understand what is happening. You are downloading. Downloading. And it's going to clog up the space. Hallelujah. That you can no longer see the Lord. The Bible says that there is a covering in the mind. The mind can be covered. Hallelujah. And if your mind is covered, if my mind is covered, then I cannot hear God. The ears are locked up and so on and so on. Amen. So it says there are imaginations. Casting them down. And every high thing that does what? Exalted itself against. In other words, these things, they make war. It's not just a stronghold. They actually work against us. Hallelujah. They pull us down. They make us weak. Hallelujah. It's a bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, that's a warfare that, you know, we are called to do, called to engage in. Praise God. Now, we want to look at the solution. We have looked at the heart. We have looked at the natures of the heart as much as we could. But of course, someone will ask the question, is there no hope? There is hope. There is hope for me. Amen. Revelation chapter 12 begins to give us the hope. I don't know what you do, but if I were you, I would never forget the principles that are being brought forth. Hallelujah. I'm just sharing the things, experiences, and not theory, the tips of overcoming. I'm not saying I've fully overcome, but I can say this is helping me. Amen.
Amen.
Say the Lord is our Ebenezer. This is a rock of Ebenezer. Amen. Revelation 12:11 is a rock of Ebenezer. What does it say? And they overcame him, what? By the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. If you want to overcome in the heart, you go to the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I overcome? Yes. How? By the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. And by the word of their testimony. They overcame by the blood. They overcame by the blood. Hallelujah. What is blood? I tried to mention, I opened up at the beginning, but this, we're coming to it now. What is blood? Blood, by the way, blood is, you know, is my specialty, you know, in practice and in teaching. Blood. And when we teach blood in the to students, we are only teaching physical blood. Physical blood. Hallelujah. Physical blood is good. It has different components. You know it in your biology. I'm not going to go there. But there is something in blood more than physical blood. Hallelujah. And that is the subject of our discussion. And the devil doesn't like it. But you see, somebody said, if you do not apply the blood, it's of no use to you. Amen. The blood of Jesus has been given, but that blood is not a talisman. The blood must be applied correctly to be of use. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood must be correctly applied. Hallelujah. The blood is not for disobedient people. The blood of Jesus is not for disobedient people. Hallelujah. Now, what does he say? He said there was a night in Israel. The word of the Lord was very clear. Anybody outside a house where there was no blood, what will happen to him? Somebody said, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I'm son's kid. This. I want to go and visit my friend. He will not come back. Amen. Because there was an angel of death. And brethren, hear it and hear it clear. There is an angel of death running now. Yeah, everybody is keeping quiet. Amen. I don't know, am I saying something wrong? Is there a problem here? Okay. Good. Hear it and hear it clear. We have come into dangerous times. The angel of death is walking on the street. And there is only one place of safety. Where is it? Under the blood. Hallelujah! You dare not go outside the covering of the blood. Hallelujah. You might not survive it. May the Lord help his people. May the Lord quicken his people. Hallelujah. I don't know, we are so quiet. Okay, I should go on. Hallelujah. I'm not speaking about physical blood. I'm speaking about spiritual blood. Amen. The Bible says there are blood of bulls and goats and sheep and so on. That is not the one we are talking about. And you say even that one has power. Amen. When you enter into the occult, they carry you in the night. They will kill some goat and dog and so on, mix the blood into wine, ribena, or whatever it is, and they give you to drink. That's how you join a cult. And it's powerful. Amen. That's the power of darkness. But we are speaking of another blood. This one was shed from before the foundation. I don't know if you understand that English. Before 6,000 years. Before time. That means there is an energy in that blood that can wipe away the whole Nigeria and remain. Hallelujah. The power of the universe is in that blood. He said, by him all things were created, and by him all things consist. Hallelujah. That's the blood we are talking of. Hallelujah. That's the one we are to drink. To join the body of Christ. To be part of that woman that will touch his hem. Hallelujah. He said, Bible says that virtue, even if your energy, dunamis, it touched the woman. Bam. And she was healed. May that blood touch my soul. We are saying in this camp, we want, that is the touch you want. Someone said, I need a touch from the master. I need a touch from the Lord. Touch me one more time, oh Lord. I'll not say one more, continuously. In fact, I want to be joined to that head. Hallelujah. That blood will be flowing every day. Because my condition is serious. Amen. If the condition of your soul is superficial, you just need one touch. Those of us who have a serious problem, we need continuous flow. And if you want continuous flow, you join. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. That means it's coming from head direct. Hallelujah. We'll come there. But where we are now, we are speaking about Exodus 12. That night in Egypt. I hope you know that there is a night in Egypt that you and I have come to. This world is called Egypt. Is it not so? And it is now night. Approaching midnight. Hallelujah. Any believer who does not have a revelation of the blood, it go hard. It go hard. It will be hard. It's going to be very difficult. I remember Emeka one by saying one day, he says, if you do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you cannot make it. Any bride of Christ that does not have a personal revelation of that blood, it's going to be difficult. Amen. Because I say, if you are wrong with the footmen, they wearied you. What are you going to do with the horses? This was a ferocious horses. Zechariah chapter 1 says, somebody opened the eyes. They were praying about the restoration of Jerusalem, like we all are praying. Hallelujah. And the Lord opened his eyes. What did he saw? He saw horsemen. Hallelujah. He said he saw horses running throughout the whole earth. He said, come. What do you see? He said, I see the whole earth quiet and still. Nobody's raising his head. When you see a weakness, serious weakness in your soul, there is a condition. There is a reason. Hallelujah. He said, I see I have gone throughout all the earth, and all the earth is quiet and still. Nobody is seeking God. Nobody is rising up. Nobody is shaking himself. Hallelujah. But he didn't stop there. Bible says, the Lord showed me another vision. Hallelujah. May the Lord show us another vision. You know what this vision is? He saw four horns. Hallelujah. But he saw four carpenters also. Hallelujah. He says, my Lord, what are these? He says, these are the carpenters that have been sent to work. Fray the horns. By the word of the Lord, there is no horn, no altar, no stronghold in my soul that these four carpenters cannot deal with. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Where there is a problem, there is a solution. In fact, they teach us in management, they say every challenge is an opportunity. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a challenge in my soul. There's also an opportunity in my soul. And the Bible says, where sin did abound, what happened? Grace did much more abound. If they ask you, what did you hear? They said, I cannot make it. No. What they're saying is that you can make it. Hallelujah. You can overcome. Hallelujah. Because the Lord has made a provision. Hallelujah. Amen. God has made a provision. There are carpenters. There's a ministry rising to seal the servants of God in the inward parts. Hallelujah. As a ministry. But that ministry can only work if we are obedient. If we will submit to the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So I was already talking about Exodus 12. I have one more scripture and then we will begin to close. But let's finish Exodus first. Let's go to Exodus 12. We are getting to the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus 12. Let's read the scripture. Because it's good for us to know the scripture. Amen. So that we can look at it, revise it. Somebody say it's in the Old Testament. Old Testament is where you have bread. Sweet bread. Hallelujah. If they break it for you, you will enjoy it. Hallelujah. So Exodus 12 is speaking about that night in Egypt. That time of midnight to which this world has come into. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a time when the angel of death is running wild. But in the midst of that situation, God has made a place of refuge for his people. Hallelujah. Exodus 12. I'll just pick a few verses and we'll move on. But we're speaking about the solution to the problem of the heart. The heart is deceitful. The heart is slippery. The heart is very sick. But there is a solution for the heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 7 says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs, they'll eat it. That's not really where I'm going to. Verse 12. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plagues shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. There's a place of safety. There are plagues right now in the world. But there's a place of safety. And that place is under the blood. Let's read one more, then we will apply it. We're just reading the principle. We'll apply it to what we're talking about today. And then we'll move on. Verse 22. And you shall take a bunch. Now, this is the way to apply the blood. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood. That is where? In the basin. Hallelujah. and none of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through the land of Egypt when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the doorpost, and the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you. So tomorrow there is a flight going to Egypt. We should all be on that flight, so that we shall go to Egypt and we shall look for hyssop. And then we shall now build houses in Egypt, and we shall now put the hyssop. Rebele will have house one, Brother Ken will have house two, and then we shall share the houses. Then we will put in, we shall be putting blood on the earth, on the house. Is that what he's saying? Amen. So, what then is the house? For me, this is the center of the message now. If you get this one, we'll close. What then is the house where you put the blood? I'll give you an example. You come out in the morning, your neighbor says to you, get out. How can you tell me get out? What did I do to you? Hold me. Trouble has come. Egypt has landed in front of you. Amen. You need blood somewhere. Hallelujah. So that get out will just go over and fall the other side of the house. Amen. You come out in front of your house, a full grown man has reduced his trouser on the ground and he's doing something. It's an image. Anywhere you go, the image is following you. What are you going to do about it? Amen. You are listening to 9 o'clock news and they bring an advertisement. Amen. What are you going to do about it? You will take a flight and go to Egypt and build a house and then begin to do something. Hallelujah. We are not overcoming because we are not applying the blood. The blood is in the basin. Hallelujah. The blood must go from the basin to the lintel. The blood is not to be on the threshold. Hallelujah. You trample the blood. You say it's of no effect. That's what the devil does. He says, no, this blood cannot do anything. It cannot protect you. Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen. Hallelujah. The blood must be applied. Hallelujah. Have you applied the blood this morning? How many people applied the blood this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. You applied the blood before you went out. Even inside your house, you didn't apply the blood. Hallelujah. What is a lintel? A lintel is your mind. Hallelujah. The lintel is your emotion. The lintel is your desire. Hallelujah. The lintel are the four dimensions of the soul. So now we can draw. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are the four dimensions. Hallelujah. And at these four dimensions, you have horns. Amen. Hallelujah. There are horns. Amen. What did the Bible say you do with the blood? You take the blood. What do? You apply it on the horns. Hallelujah. Remember, there are strongholds. There are strongholds in the mind. There are strongholds in the mind. And according to the principle of the word of God, you cannot put oil on the horn. Hallelujah. We were talking yesterday about life and oil. Oil is put on blood. You anoint the altar first with blood, then you bring the blood on the, you bring the oil on the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. I take it again. You first apply the blood, then the oil on the blood. Hallelujah. You must first redeem the altar. You must first consecrate the altar. You must first cleanse the heart. Hallelujah. Before the oil comes on it. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Are you a priest? Are you a priest? What does the priest do? The priest brings an offering. What greater offering can Jesus brought the greatest offering of himself. What offering are you going to bring? Yourself also. Hallelujah. Amen. You must lift up your soul as the greatest offering on earth. Hallelujah. What shall a man give in exchange of his soul? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This message has dragged, so we have to bring it to an end. Hallelujah. We have to bring it to an end. Hallelujah. But there's still much. But we have to close it. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll probably come back again. But let's begin to close. Leviticus 17. Leviticus 17. Need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, that he died for me. You can join the argument. Me, I have closed though. I don't need any argument. Hallelujah. You can join the theology. You can read the eschatology. You can read the apology. You can read the all the orgies. Amen. I have come to the end of the argument. Leviticus 17:11 is the end of my argument. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. That he died for me. Amen. I don't know what's happening on the board, but I'm not going to waste time. Now, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I was blown away. Completely blown away when I found out that the Italinia, I don't know what's happening today. Can't we have Italinia? That word translated life, the Hebrew word is 53:15, 5:3:1:5 is nefesh. Hallelujah. So the nefesh of the body. Hallelujah. The nefesh of the flesh is in the blood. Nefesh, to every studier or student or scholar or reader of the Old Testament, means one thing. It means soul. Hallelujah. It means soul. Hallelujah. You can translate it life. You can't go very far. It's soul. Hallelujah. And for those of us who have stopped arguing, I take it as it has said it. I don't need any more argument. Amen. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Amen. He says the soul is in the blood. Hallelujah. Blood contains soul. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. I don't need any more argument. Hallelujah. It's not liquid. It's not liquid, brethren. Hallelujah. Isaiah said he poured out his soul. How did he pour it? Because his mind, his emotion, his desire, the very dynamis and energy of eternity was in that blood. Hallelujah. And when they pierced him, when they put the crown of thorns, when they pulled it, when they any touch they made that brought blood, energy came out. Hallelujah. And finally, when the rascal soldier came and punched his side, he didn't know he was blessing me. Hallelujah. God bless him for blessing me. Hallelujah. God said that the whole blood gushed out. Hallelujah. For all eternity. One offering. One energy release. He poured out his soul. My soul for his soul. Hallelujah. It's a soul exchange. Hallelujah. No wonder Paul said we have the mind of Christ. Brethren, what is he saying? The blood of Jesus is in this room now. In a dimension. Hallelujah. Like that woman, we can reach out with our mind. Hallelujah. I say, Lord, put it on my mind. Hallelujah. Seal it. Seal my mind, oh God. Seal my emotions, oh God. Seal my desires. Take away this Nigerian mind. Take away these emotions. These wild, beastly emotions. These crawling, serpentine desires. Hallelujah. There is a substitute in this hall. Hallelujah. Amen. It's free for all. A certain woman must touch. A certain woman must bring the offering of his soul and say, Lord, apply the blood. Apply it. And the Bible says, on the day of atonement, the high priest will go. He will take the blood and he will sprinkle 7 times. Hallelujah. And the brother has actually calculated the 7 times in which Jesus shed his blood on the road to Calvary. Hallelujah. That was the perfect offering for my soul. Hallelujah. 7 means perfection. Completion. Jesus doesn't need to come back again. Because by one offering, he has sealed it. He has sealed my deliverance. Hallelujah. He said, thou will not leave my soul. Where? In hell. Hallelujah. My soul can rise. Our soul can rise. It can be healed. Hallelujah. It can be healed. It can be healed. In the name of Jesus. I don't know if you want to stand, but we need to just make a little response. Hallelujah. There are some people here who have never received the blood. You have been to fellowship, MIS, all the names, you have been there, but that blood has never touched your soul. Hallelujah. You have come for conference, but you have not received the blood of Jesus. Today is an opportunity to receive that blood. The Bible said that we have forgiveness of sin by the blood. Hallelujah. The Bible said that we are purchased by the blood. Do you understand? That blood is a commodity. It has a price. Priceless. Hallelujah. And we have been purchased. That means my emotion has been bought out. My emotion has no business in hell. My desire has no business outside of the covering of the blood. And all who would like to make an offering. He said, oh God. The man said, not even one hoof shall remain. We say, Lord, everything that we are, all our heart, all our will, all our desire, all our emotion, all our history, all our springs are in thee, O Lord. Let us respectfully just stand on our feet and let us make a response. Hallelujah. There is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, His Son. Precious Lamb of Calvary. Hallelujah.